Okay, thank you all for, thanks to the organizers and everyone for giving me a chance to speak. This is from a chapter of my dissertation, so I'd appreciate any comments on how to condense it or on the argument itself. So both historiography and state discourse have tended to conflate Adivasi, the figure of the Adivasi and Adivasi cultural identity with orality, citing the colorful nature of tribal song and dance, or the stubborn persistence of illiteracy, the use of non-recognized languages. However, contrary to this belief, my first encounter with Santali, which is one of the Indian subcontinent's largest Adivasi languages, and it's spoken and throughout eastern India, Nepal, Bangladesh, it's Austroasiatic, was through textual media. So these media included magazines, newspapers, books, and were available in multiple scripts, including Roman script, Eastern Brahmi, Bengali, Utkal, this is Uriya, Devanagari, and also a recently invented Santali script known as Old Chiki. So the history of Santali political and cultural assertion cannot be separated from a history of textual production, and specifically the use of multiple scripts in the production and circulation of media artifacts. So in this paper, I'm going to focus on how assemblages, so I'm taking this from Bruno Latour, but assemblages of print technologies, practices of exchange, and practices of exchange together with the material form of script, have rendered both language and then later script itself as a salient site for ongoing politics of autonomy among Santals, and also, and the argument I think could be extended to many Adivasi communities, Adivasi communities more broadly. So Adivasi means sort of indigenous in a broad sense in India. So first I'm going to discuss, I'm going to give a little history of printing in Santali and focusing on how missionaries contributed to the creation of extensive networks of Santali language readership in the late 19th and early 20th century, and how these then networks were reconfigured by the formation of linguistic states and the Jharkhand movement, which is a movement for an Adivasi majority state of Jharkhand. And then the second part, I'm going to describe magazine production across multiple generations in a small region in southwestern West Bengal, ethnographically documenting how new assemblages of script and technology have transformed and sustained local networks in Santali-speaking communities. So the first printing presses devoted exclusively to publishing in Santali were started in the late 19th century by Norwegian missionaries at the Benagaria mission near Dumka, in what is now Jharkhand. So the type was a modified Roman script developed by the missionary L.O. Skrefsrud, and the first book that was published was a book of songs, Benagaria's Sareng Puthi, in 1871. But so they published, in addition to song books, you know, of course they published Bibles and hymnals, but they also published like folk tales, traditional Santal stories, creation myths, stories of spirits, bongas, you know, all kinds of things. So, and they also published a magazine called Hodhopanan Pera. So Pera in Santali means guest. So, and it's not just a guest, but I mean any relation that's settled in a distant place, and it entails a whole set of social practices, you know, when a Pera comes, like broadly, you know, hospitality practices. And it's often associated with communal joy, you know, the receiving a Pera, so called Ruska. So according to letters written by missionaries and their Santal collaborators, the magazines accompanied the delegations as they expanded the mission's reach into, you know, really far-flung areas, like all the way up to Assam, you know, forests of North Bengal. And these magazines, they would read them aloud and then exchange them as gifts to these communities. So the artifact itself became like a pera, you know, like this guest. And it connected all these different communities in really remote areas, you know, together. And then following the lead, you know, all the other missions started this. So the Catholic mission started this magazine, which is still running, you know, Marcel Tabon, Our Light. And, you know, the magazines contained religious content, but literary content as well. And, you know, they created, you know, a kind of autonomous, like, Santali literary and cultural sphere, which missionaries hoped would make them less, you know, further away from, you know, Hindu practices and more open to evangelization. So, but then after Indian independence, the linguistic states, you know, emerged, and then they tried to bring in Santali media into, like, the government orbit. And so these state publications aligned Santali language with a designated state script, so promoting literacy in the official script language of the state. So in Bihar, there was a magazine, Hor Sambad, which was Santali, but in the Devanagari script. In Bengal, here's an example of the Bengali one, it's called Pachim Bangla, and, you know, it's West Bengal in Santali, but it was written in Santali, but in the Eastern Brahmi script. And there you see the old chief minister of Bengal, communist chief minister there. So this magazine was running for a while. But at the same time, you know, so these magazines were kind of influential in promoting Santali literacy when it wasn't taught in schools, and you know, but it was, you know, sort of the readership was limited by script, by proficiency in the state script. So at the same time, states were trying to incorporate Santals into linguistic and graphic regimes. At the same time as states were, Santals themselves were agitating for an Adivasi majority state of Jharkhand. So, and this, you know, this happened throughout from the beginning of independence on, and this was marked by violent uprisings. In Orissa, there the Indian army was sent in to suppress an uprising in the princely state of Mayurbhanj, where Santals wanted to join with Bihar to be part of the Chota Nagpur area. In Bengal, an area was cut in half so that forming the state of Purulia and Singhbhum, so that those Adivasis who lived in Bengal couldn't access the Chota Nagpur Tenancy Act. So, you know, cutting them off from the privileges and also then undermining their entrance into Jharkhand later on. So all of this was happening around this time. So at that time, Jharkhandi organizations started viewing language as a way of uniting Santali speakers across states, but also parallel to that concern was script. So Jharkhandi activists started believing that the use of diverse state scripts supported by the state administrations in all these various parts of, you know, these states were dividing the Santal community. And so an intellectual created a novel script called Ol Chiki script. So it means writing symbol in Santali, Ol Chiki, which he said uniquely represented the Santali language. And they circulated it through these multi-scriptural primers, you know, where there's like written in all the scripts that Santals knew, and also then relating it to this Ol Chiki script. So he started an institution for this called the Adivasi Socio-Educational Cultural Association, ASECA. And he created a printing press in Jamshedpur, which is like an industrial town in Bihar, now Jharkhand, and Howrah near Kolkata, and so disseminate these materials such as these. So in the following section, I'm going to just focus on a particular ethnographic case, looking at how the production, circulation, and exchange of Santali language magazines in the southern region of Purulia, which is in southwest West Bengal. It's a very rural, forest, hilly area, and on the border with Jharkhand and Orissa. So how it sustained local political networks across generations, even if the dream of the Jharkhand state became an impossibility. For people in Purulia district, it became an impossibility. So, and then I'll discuss how printing technology and the spread of Ol Chiki scripts transformed these networks, producing new ideas of what properly constitutes a Santali media artifact, in which distinctions are made on graphic rather than linguistic lines. And then I'll talk about state attempts to assimilate this media field. So from the late 1950s, the movement for Jharkhand spurred the formation of numerous small-scale organizations based in rural areas called Baisi or Gaunta and Santali. And these organizations were financed by a small elite and served as a way for writers to gain prestige and create a network of literary, linguistic, and politically impaired people across groups of villages. So these organizations published magazines called literary and cultural journals that kind of operated similarly to little magazines. So many of you might know that. Which have burgeoned in metropolitan centers nearby like Calcutta. So copies of these magazines would be offered for free or for at no price. So publishers couldn't recover any costs, really. They circulated through networks, a multi-tiered distribution, so which editors gave copy to committee members who then distributed to people they know, who distributed to people they know. And then participation in these communities also served as a way that you could gain prestige that alone your economic position or your financial position could not really guarantee you. So this area that I was working in was called, it's Bandhawan, it's like a southern part of Purulia, had a strong history of social organization and media production. So it goes far as back as 1976. There was a famous poet and school teacher who started a social organization, and then he made a magazine called Susardar, which is Road to Development. And so in this sense, he cultivated a whole set of writers and editors in the Santali language. Now, mind you, Santali isn't being taught, right? The language is just being transmitted in its literary form through these organizations. So then this spawned, like, especially teachers who were all teaching in Bengali medium schools or Hindi medium. Then they came up and started their own magazines. And then there's a whole slew of magazines that kind of grew in this local, you know, formation in the Santali language. And so one of them was Tetre, which is the old one. It started in 1976. And as you see, it's written in Eastern Brahmi, so the Bengali script. And on the back side is a list of all the committee members. So, you know, the list of how it's distributed across West Bengal, you know, through this distribution chain. So these journals, like, the content is actually the same for many of them. I mean, a lot of them is poetry, some short stories, then some political sort of essays. But the difference, they have a difference in their script, you know, in what kind of scripts they're using. So these scripts reveal like a different assemblage of technologies and also political transformations across generations and across like different kinds of segments within this area. So older journals like Tetre, as you can see here, were all in Eastern Brahmi script. And the Jharkhand movement in Purulia was different than, has a history independent from the old Chiki script. And literary expression had always taken place in the script in which the majority of local residents were proficient. So Santals didn't own manual presses, and so they went to the Bengali press, and they published it in Bengali. But later on, as you can see in this one, the scripts were written in, the covers were in Old Chiki, Bengali, and in Roman. And this is partly because of new digital offset printing. And partly also because the rise of the Jharkhand movement in which Old Chiki became one of the central, like, you know, features of it. So they pressured the editors to put in this Old Chiki script. So in the Silly, the editor was like, the content is all in Eastern Brahmi, but he's like, I had to put in Old Chiki because of the pressure. So it was the rise of the Bhasha Morcha in the 90s. So younger editors now publish exclusively in Old Chiki script, so as you see here. And the content also is in Old Chiki, as you see here. And that's because now, like, the rise of computers and fonts, Unicode fonts, and offset printing. So no manual presses, computers, and one computer in a whole group of villages, someone can just type anything written in Eastern Brahmi, Roman, whatever, and put it in Old Chiki and publish it. So this has created a slew of Old Chiki magazines. But as you see, Eastern Brahmi is still used here. And so Eastern Brahmi is still used by the mediated. So as you can see, the Eastern Brahmi still links the Old Chiki magazines back to this older network as well, the use of multiple scripts. So you have Santali publications within these magazines, which are written in Old Chiki script but are advertised in Eastern Brahmi script. So as you see, like right there, over there, is a magazine written in Old Chiki script, but it's advertised in Eastern Brahmi. So it shows the multi-generational audience that these script, that these publications are kind of orienting themselves toward. Here's that magazine that was advertised in the last one. So that's in Eastern Brahmi script. Old Chiki script, and which also has Eastern Brahmi and Roman there. And as you can see, this is a famous writer from the area, and he's surrounded by Eastern Brahmi books, right? But all the magazine content is in Old Chiki. So this signifies a generational shifts and like continuities kind of between how the script is used. There's a picture of the guy who has invented Old Chiki script, and there's a picture of the person who is the leader of a Santal rebellion called the Hul, Sidhu Murmu. So they're trying to link all of this political organizing with the script. It shifted from language, which was key before, to script now, as across the generations, and the politics is a little bit different. So the disputes around script have also shifted to the, there are some pages from there, and as you can see, the advertisements again are in Eastern Brahmi script, and that one is from the first magazine I showed you, the Old Chiki magazine, and this one is from the Tetre magazine, which I showed you the first slide. So then disputes around script have also surfaced to the state level. And so the West Bengal government has tried to create this Santali Academy, you know, to kind of address its problem with, Santal tribal areas, tribal problem. And it's created and this academy has been riveted by debates around script, right? So what script to use when different generations of writers have been part of it. So they've come up with a solution to create two separate magazines that are the same, but in two scripts, okay? And so instead of selectively layering the scripts, you know, they attempt to reconcile kind of a standardized imaginary of language and script as a unified object, with this heterogeneous reality of a multi-scriptural, media field. And so they've tried to do this, but this hasn't really translated into really any kind of circulation, compared to the other ones, it really hasn't moved. So it appears that the local networks of publishing, dissemination, and distribution have become robust enough in rural areas to mitigate the impact now of kind of state intervention, and so the state intervention has become less. So just to conclude, from the beginning of Santali printing, where Santali literary journals were disseminated along with religious texts and mission publications as part of traveling groups, to the current situation where they're printed in multiple scripts throughout the Santali-speaking area, journals and newspapers have served to promote regional and political autonomy, spread and consolidate institutional networks, and catalyze the formation and maintenance of local transgenerational organizations. I suggest that the social history of these networks and the practices of exchange and the technologies which make them possible, the changing technologies and changing exchange practices, relate to changing ideas of ongoing political organization among Adivasis, and through their use and organization of graphic resources, and especially script. So, and this comes in with font and computer technology and all this. So understanding what media say beyond analyzing their referential content requires a close analysis of the material form, pathways to circulation, and wider political and social networks. So we may be better able to analyze the ways in which territory, community, and ideology are multiply configured through these multiple kinds of processes of mediation.